think that when we see this unity, certainly the unity that we find in the Pentateuch, which is strong, then the unity that we apply into the Old Testament, it prepares us for a reading that's unified for the whole Bible. And there's a lot of disconnects that happen, especially I think in the modern church. We really love the New Testament, and we really want to, and we should. We should focus on Jesus. We should focus on the resurrection and all the ways that the New Testament informs our Christian life. But to disconnect it from the Old Testament is really to rip off the story. The hero comes in, and we love the hero. But in order to understand why the hero was necessary, you need, I guess let's call it the prequel.
Hi there, and welcome back to Study with Friends. This week we begin an introduction on a multi-part series looking at the Pentateuch and the overall biblical narrative that flows throughout the Bible. Our hope is that through these series you will come to understand the unifying themes throughout Scripture and how the Old Testament connects to the New Testament and Jesus. If you miss any part of the series or would like to get the homework, we encourage you to go to our website, studywithfriends.org, search for Old Testament or Pentateuch. If you can't catch us live, feel free to stream us on Spotify, iTunes, or Stitcher. Also, keep an eye out for us on YouTube as well. Now, let's begin in prayer.
God, thank you for making it possible for us to be together, for supplying your word to us, for our edification, for our spiritual growth, for our ability to relate to you and to each other. We thank you so much that you have promised to reveal to us the things that maybe we don't understand or that we struggle with or we're puzzled by. And so we thank you in advance for showing us new ways and fresh ways to understand your word tonight. We ask that you would bless our time and that you would have it all for your glory. We ask it in your son's name. Amen. Okay, so I'm Holly. Introductions. I'm Holly, the ever-present. I'm always here, and I have two. They're like old now. They're 72 daughters, 17, and she'll be 20 in a couple, 1 week. And married 25 years, and I attend an evangelical Presbyterian church. What else do I usually want to say about myself? That's it. That's a good intro. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. Carol, I am married 17 years and have a 15 and a 14-year-old son and a daughter. I grew up Presbyterian. It hadn't split back then, so whatever that was called. After I became a Christian, I went to Christian Missionary Alliance, and then landed at a evangelical free church for the last 12 years or so. And I've been involved with this ministry for 5 years or so. So done a couple recordings, and now here in person.
I'm Kathy. This is my first time, so obviously sweating already.
No!
they're going to love that. I have been married 20 years, just a week ago.
Aw, congrats.
It was really exciting. And I know we were hoping to go away, but you know.
No dice.
No dice this year. So I have three kids, 17, 15, and 12. Same thing. Like, I feel like they're so old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's frightening. And I have been a believer for 10 years. And I currently go to actually a non-denominational church. Been there for 3 months or so.
Okay. So great. That's great.
Isabella, and I grew up in a non-denominational church. Spent the last 4 years going to a Presbyterian one, but I think I kind of want to stay non-denominational.
Yeah? We might have to unpack that on another recording.
I'd love to. It's fascinating.
Okay.
I still live with my family. I've got two siblings, and because I'm not old enough to be married yet.
Not ready to launch. You know what? That's smart. save the money.
Cats. I feel like my children. So. But yeah.
One of your cats was the subject of one of our blogs. So
Upside Down Percy.
Yeah.
That's I've been with this ministry for 0 years, but for a long time.
Yeah. Right. That's true. So peripherally. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm so excited to have you two, especially. I mean, of course, I love you all the time. But I love when someone new can come in and bring some kind of different perspective. So I'm excited to hear how each of you bring something special to it. So I'm going to do a little bit of introduction. I'll reiterate, I think everybody probably knows the homework is on the website. You'll find it if you search probably Pentateuch or Old Testament. It'll come up. And this is the first in a really ambitious series that we're doing, which will be an overview of the Old Testament narrative. The purpose of this ambitious study is to really help us to see the unity of the biblical narrative. I think when I talk to people about the Old Testament, I hear a lot of different hang-ups, for lack of a better word. And one of them is often that it feels disconnected. People, I think, in a wrong approach, we'll pick up a section of it and try to interpret just a small section of it. And the way that I describe that, the way that I help people understand that's not a great idea, is if you were to come into a movie theater in the middle of the movie and then leave before it ended and then complain that it didn't make sense. I hope that makes it more relevant, but that's really what's happening in an Old Testament read if you don't have this big picture perspective. And it's not difficult to get this big picture perspective, and there are a lot of different ways you can get the big picture perspective. And a lot of people talk about, you know, creation, fall, redemption. There's a lot of ways that you can approach that big picture of the Old Testament narrative arc and really the whole biblical narrative arc. But what we're choosing to do in this study is use an anchor in the covenants. First, because I think that's a really sound way to do it. And that's not just me. People who are way smarter than me think that too. So I'm coattailing them. And it also helps us to really draw quite a straight line throughout the entire Old Testament. In fact, I would say you can draw a straight line using the covenants from Genesis to Revelation. And, you know, we won't do all of that in this study, but I think we can successfully do it through the Old Testament. And my desire that anybody who participates in this, whether it's here with me in person, on the podcast, on the radio, on YouTube, wherever you're grabbing this up, that you would be able to get enough out of it that it gives you context, whatever book of the Old Testament you pick up. And what we want to understand is using this narrative arc and the unity and these themes that we're going to really dive into, having that as sort of our foundation then gives me context that if I pick up Judges, I understand what was going on with Israel and her relationship with God. And that helps me in my reading of that, you know, that book or that section of scripture. And that's really my prayer, because I think that when we see this unity, it prepares, certainly the unity that we find in the Pentateuch, which is strong, then the unity that we apply, you know, into the Old Testament, it prepares us for a reading that's unified for the whole Bible. And, you know, a lot of people disconnect the New Testament and the Old Testament, or there's a lot of disconnects that happen, especially I think in the modern church. We really love the New Testament, and we really want to, and we should. We should focus on Jesus. We should focus on the resurrection and all the ways that the New Testament informs our Christian life. But to disconnect it from the Old Testament is really to rip off the story. The hero comes in, and we love the hero. But in order to understand why the hero was necessary, you need, I guess let's call it the prequel, you know? So I think that that's what we'd like to do. And let's talk about your questions, what you're struggling with, or what challenges you right now, or how this applies to you right now. Because the other thing that I'd love to do is help people to understand that the Old Testament really has relevance even in your life right this minute. Not only context for Christ and why what he did on the cross was important, but also recognizing that the Old Testament has real relevance to my everyday walk. And so we'll unpack as much of that as we can in this 10,000 foot perspective. I mean, each of these concepts could be its own 10-week study, honestly. So we may experience some frustration that we can't dive in as much as we'd like to. We'll kind of go in and out, you know, as the Spirit leads. Sound good? Okay. So let's see what I want to start with. So there's quite a bit of intro that I want to do with you guys. So that's sort of my overview, what we're hoping to accomplish. The next thing that I want to make sure that we cover, and this is in the homework, is how we feel about hindsight. So the fact that we're using the covenants to draw a line through the biblical narrative, some people who are familiar with the Old Testament know that some of these covenants don't come in until really late and later into Genesis. And so how can we apply that to, say, what's called the primeval history, which is basically Genesis 1 through 11? How can we apply that in hindsight? And one of the things that we unpacked in the homework is you kind of already know the answer to that question, because Christ. And don't we love looking at the ways that the Old Testament prophesied that he would come, and the ways that he fulfilled all those prophecies, and the ways that we see him show up in Christophanies. And if you read the Old Testament through Christ-filled eyes, you recognize that there's a lot for you to see in the Old Testament that's related to Christ. So the same is true, because God is really unchanging and he's timeless. And so even though the covenants may not have been formalized until, call it Genesis 9 or Genesis 12, we see that even all the way back in the creation story, the threads of the covenant are evident, and it's a hindsight perspective. We see, he formalized the covenant here, but we can go back and look and see evidence of those covenant desires of God all the way back in the garden. And so just kind of have that rear view mirror acceptance that we're blessed to live in a time where we really have that great perspective of hindsight. Anything you guys want to talk about introduction-wise or hindsight-wise? Any insights there, or how do you feel about that hindsight perspective?
Well, so I really love this hindsight perspective. And what I was thinking is we don't have the vision of what it's going to look like after the promise comes, right, for us. And so there's some settling in of this is what it looks like for us, and we're sort of waiting also. So then what did it look and or feel like when they were waiting? So for me, it was a good perspective of reminding myself that there's waiting for us as well. And so we have hindsight of what the picture looked like before, and this kind of like middle ground, right? And we get to see it, and we get to go, oh, that's fantastic. And then we go, okay, now how can we wait?
Oh, that's great perspective.
And in, beauty and in trust and understanding that he's going to come. And so that just for me, that kept hitting up on me.
Well, that's great.
As I was reading it,
I didn't even think about it that way. I was thinking only backwards as we approach the Old Testament, but you're 100% right that assurance is relevant to us as we look forward to him coming back. That's great. Anybody else have anything equally great to say? No pressure. Yeah, I just think, you could spend a lot of time thinking about Christ. And listen, that's a whole rabbit hole, right, of like the Christophanies, which are the like pre-incarnate appearances of Christ. And it's a fun rabbit hole, don't get me wrong, but it's so interesting to be able to look back. And actually, when we do the former prophets, we're going to talk about a Trinitarian read of the Old Testament. So we'll have to wait for that, and we'll do that in the next segment. But yeah, that's really good insight. Thanks for lifting that up. Anything else in the introduction or, the big picture perspective where we're trying to like focus our lens here?
I was just struck the Sunday school program that our church does is
always ends with, like, how does this Old Testament scripture point to Christ? And so for years, that's just been drilled into me. Like, everything, Jesus is everywhere in the Old Testament, that concept. But it struck me, these three themes of land, a seed, and relationship, like, how often that came up. Like, and then it, when the little bit we did in the New Testament, I'm like, it's in Hebrews. The land is in Hebrews.
It's everywhere. You know, really, it's everywhere. Was that your experience too? Yeah, like once you see these three elements, it's like you can't unsee them.
Right.
Yeah. 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 It's like when you buy a certain car, then all of a sudden you see them everywhere on the road. Right. Like, it's, right, you're just aware of it.
Yeah. But then it made me think, well, why? You know, like, why are these three concepts so important? You know, and we'll unpack.
We are going to unpack that. That's great foreshadowing. Yeah. Okay, so the next thing, Carol, you're great. Okay, anything you want to add? Baby cakes? There's no pressure. Jump in, though.
I don't know. Well, something Kathy said reminded me of how I'm, like, I try not to get super, like, oh, I know the Old Testament now. Now that I've just read through, like, one book, because everyone's mind kind of tends to go there. And it reminded me of this thing that I thought of one day where it's, like, faith in, like, as a disciple, like, if you were Peter, James, John, Andrew, whatever, their faith and journey with Jesus is, like, completely different than ours. And so whatever, like, the people of Genesis, the Old Testament in general, had of the future, and, like, however they understood the promises and the covenants are completely different than the way that we understand them. And it's harder that way, I guess. We kind of have grace for our own study because there's so much context and, like, cultural stuff that you need to consider. But at the same time, it's kind of, like, wacky. I always kind of reach this conclusion of, like, oh, there's only so much that I can get to.
Yeah,
same. There's only so much I can reach. Because even then, like, they didn't have it all figured out. So I'm looking back from, like, I don't know, a zillion years. I can't do math in
the
future.
You know what? That's what I love about it, that I'll never get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When Kathy came in, she had a mask on that said book nerd.
Oh, yeah.
And so one of my things is, like, I'm always so sad when a great book ends. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it's over. And that we never have that with this. And so that's probably one of the things that draws me to it the most, that I feel like I can keep reading and studying, and there's no bottom to this well. Yeah, at sometimes it feels overwhelming, but other times it's exciting. Mm-hmm. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like I have to put the limit on it at some point. It's like, because I always keep, but I can't act like I'm always going to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, there's, I don't know, sometimes that's, I'm someone who, like, I need to understand everything.
Me too. I want to understand everything. Yeah. I'd love to understand everything, yeah. But see, I think that keeps you in a learning mode, like in a seeking mode. Mm-hmm. I love, and this is a whole different conversation, I don't want to go too deep, but I'm looking at you because we were just talking about it this morning. I love a seeker, like someone who doesn't believe yet, because I feel like that's me. I still have a skeptic's heart. I still am like, wait a minute. You know, when teachers teach me new things, or when I learn something new in a Bible study, and you've been in Bible study with me for a long time, and you see me be like, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait, I'm not buying what you're selling.
Oh, I'm the same way. We
should. We should be friends.
What?
So, and so for me, that keeps me, like, I guess, curious. That keeps me curious. Because at the end of the day, I believe that God is sufficient. That God is, there's no question that I'm going to ask that's going to topple Christianity. So I'm not worried that God is, that I'm going to find the end. So it keeps me motivated to keep asking questions and being curious. I just feel like I always want to be in study of this. I always want to.
The beauty too of having those never ending questions, right? Is it puts you right back where he wants us to be.
Yes.
Which is inside his word and consistently reading and learning and growing.
And dependent.
Yeah, absolutely, mm-hmm. Right? Because who can answer the questions? Only
right.
We can,
right? Right. So great insight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the great thing too, though, is what you said about grace, is that he's merciful, because you read a little bit and you do feel like, okay, I get some stuff. Because if we never felt like we got any of it, that would be frustrating. So he just gives us these little, I don't know, some people call them breadcrumbs or, like, nuggets. I don't know. But I guess I'm kind of vibing with what you're saying, because I experienced the same. I experienced the same thing. Okay. So that's great. Jump back in when you're ready. Okay. So The next thing I want to do is chat a little bit about biblical covenants. I don't want to spend a ton of time in it, but I feel like we kind of have to spend some time in it since the whole deal is covenants. And I may revise the homework. The problem with the current draft of the homework is that I just had a hard time finding a definition that I felt satisfied with regarding covenants, because not that I don't understand the elements of covenant, but it's really hard to articulate. So the best way I can articulate biblical covenants is they are conditional and unconditional. And so let me explain what I mean by that. They have conditional elements. So for example, in almost all of them, we're going to talk about the covenant of works in a minute. God says, if you do this, then it will go well for you, or you will be blessed, or something of that ilk. But there's also an element of it, and we see, as certainly we can foreshadow, and anybody who's read any of the Old Testament or have any perspective on the Old Testament knows, it doesn't always go well for Israel. So that's not part of the covenant, like it'll always go well for you because you're my chosen people. So that's the conditional part. And it's basically like, I've elected you, I have picked you, I've chosen you to be a set apart people, but I expect you to set me apart too, and you'll have to honor me as your God, and I should be the only God that you worship. And so he wants to be set apart to them too. And so they mess that up a lot. And so that's the conditional part. And he's explaining that his nature is there will be justice if you don't behave as if you know who I am, especially after I show you who I am time and time and time again. If you don't show that you know who I am, there'll be consequences for that. Because I've chosen you to be a set apart people so that the nations around you can see who I am. And so, you know, if you mess that up, then I have to show them who I am and use you as the example. And so that's a conditional element of a covenant. But then there's this unconditional element, which is land, seed, and relationship. And each of those elements have an unconditional nature, and we'll unpack those. But certainly descendants, there are several times in the Old Testament. Noah is a great example where he could have just wiped and started again. Another great example is the golden calf at Sinai, where he was extremely rightfully judged the people, but he left a remnant for the descendants that he promised to fulfill. So that's a great example of the conditional, unconditional. Like, at the end of the day, it's up to God to fulfill these long-term covenants, even though, of course, God knows humanity will fall short. So the blessing is about how your life will look. But the unconditional is about, here's my plan, and it won't be thwarted. So you're the people I've chosen to execute this plan through. We're going to have some ups and downs.
I'm so thankful for how God invites us to know him through his word, and that word continues to change us to look more like Jesus. We hope that this has been a gift to you too. We are a weekly Bible study, just like you find in a local church. If you aren't involved in a study like this, we encourage you to find one and make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus sent out his disciples to preach the word. He instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We believe that applies to us here at Study with Friends. So we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. They are all free for you to use and share, and hopefully these will bless and encourage you on your walk with Jesus. Just like those disciples who relied on others for support, we are also 100% donor supported. If you have been particularly blessed by any of our resources, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful to us, and no amount is too small. If you are moved to give it, we would be grateful and blessed to have it. You can donate on our website at studywithfriends.org/donate. Whether it's your first time listening or you've been here from the beginning, we would love to hear from you. You can email us to say hello, ask for prayer requests, or just give encouragement at info@studywithfriends.org. Hearing from you really does encourage and move us. To stay connected, you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next time when we study with friends.